Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Bors and James Forsyth. So Boris Johnson gave a morning broadcast round today in which he said this.
I think that by the middle of next year, we will be well on the way. We will be well on the way past it. But I must be clear with people. I do still think that we have tough times ahead in keeping this virus under control.
Now, Katie, previously he'd said that normality will be returning in November, not summer next year. What's going on?
I think this could be expectation management. I also think it's the case that very few people right now believe that we will get to December and, you know, there'll be no reminders of coronavirus. I also think if you're talking about November, December, obviously people are hoping for the best, but look at all the plans the government is making behind the scenes. Reports this week about roles, you know, the military could play in all this, looking in at the Department of Health, how it's constantly expanding its testing in the anticipation that you could need to, you know, mass tests per day. Efforts to try and get a spit test, which get you an instant reaction, as one way you could check people going to work. There is this sense that this right now is the easy bit, and as soon as we get to the autumn into the winter, things could get quite choppy. Now, Boris Johnson has said he doesn't think that we have another national lockdown, but has referred to it almost as, you know, a nuclear deterrent. So he can't rule that out completely. And I think that talking about next summer is ultimately saying, don't get your hopes up completely. This is going to be here for a while. But I think that you can get to December, January, and it hasn't been horrific. You know, you haven't had a full going back. And I think right now that would be seen as a very positive outcome. I do think that looking to, you know, the spring and the summer suddenly starts to get a lot easier, because what people are most worried about is the winter months. So if you can navigate that, the rest looks easier. Now, if you can't navigate that, I think there are some who think that even if you were to have a second spike, something everyone does want to avoid, by that point you'll still learn so much in terms of the ways you're dealing with it, that potentially, you know, by the spring, summer, we'll be in a different position regardless.
James, this morning he also told a group of nurses that anyone who refuses vaccines when they come are nuts. What do you make of that language?
I think it's kind of slightly classic Boris Johnson, which is the appeal to people is that he talks in a language that they talk. Obviously, the biggest single challenge is getting a vaccine. The Oxford vaccine is still on course. But I think the best way to think about the findings that published in The Lancet on Monday were it would have been game over if it hadn't got over that hurdle. It's got over that hurdle. That doesn't mean it's now going to get over all the other hurdles. Yeah, so we've still got quite a way to go. Then I think if there is a vaccine, there are then two challenges. One is the sheer logistics of organising a mass national vaccination programme. I mean, the government today have said they want more than half the population to have the flu jab. Even on that, you've got some doctors and GPs saying, oh, this is going to be really hard to do, to organise. The second question is whether you're going to have a kind of MMR style, people saying, oh, I don't want this vaccine because I'm not sure it's safe. And that, I think, is going to be quite a challenge. I mean, there's kind of, and it's an odd set of people, because some people kind of worry about kind of Bill Gates mind control stuff, which obviously is a bit nuts. And then other people are just a bit like, well, this vaccine has been rushed through development. No one's had it before. How do I know it's safe? Which is a slightly different set of concerns. But I think that's that. I think to come back to what Katie was saying, I remember last week Boris Johnson was talking about, you know, ending all social distancing measures in November, which always seemed remarkably optimistic given what we know about how when we're inside during the winter months, life becomes a bit easier for this virus. But I think there is an interesting reasoning behind that, because he is desperate to have Christmas in a kind of Love Actually, Oxford Street, Christmas lights, all of this. Now, but this isn't just about national morale. This is a big economic moment. We are this very consumption-driven economy. And if you don't have all of those things in terms of Christmas and Christmas parties and all this, and I think if people are going to have a very stripped-back Christmas, they are inevitably going to spend less money, let's be honest, then I think that is another economic hit. And so this is a kind of question here, which is the longer this goes on. But I think the kind of Chris Whitty time frame is probably the right one, which is no one's going to want to declare this over until I think March next year. That doesn't necessarily mean that it will be over, but I think the restrictions will get eased off after March next year, just because, but I think it's kind of through the winter months is when I think they'll be most concerned.
Katie, the papers are also full of stories of another plan to deal with coronavirus, and that is this war on obesity that Boris Johnson is starting to wage. What do we know about what's going to happen?
Well, first revealed by the person sitting 2 metres opposite me in this podcast, James Forsyth, in his column for The Times. This is Boris Johnson's decision to crack down on obesity, seeing it as one of the factors that he thinks is the reason the UK has a higher death toll than some other countries or was particularly susceptible. I think he feels particularly able to talk about this because he himself falls into the category where he was overweight. You had a slightly funny moment at PMQs when you had a MP asking about this, a Tory MP, trying almost skating around the various factors that might make you more prone.
We can listen to it now.
My right honourable friend knows better than most that COVID has an unequal impact on the BAME community, on the elderly, on men, and indeed on the overweight. Can you please update the House on the steps being taken across government to empower people away from fat shaming and away from an over-reliance on BMI, which we all know is an inaccurate measure for individual well-being, and let us know what he is doing to enable people to take back control of their own well-being.
I thank my right honourable friend for the extreme tact with which she expressed her question, and but she makes a very important point.
Boris Johnson appreciating her tact, but ultimately happy to talk about his own issues. Now, he's lost over a stone since then, been on a health kick, but this is how do you get the rest of the country, how do you get people who are in the overweight category to start thinking about their health in a different way? Look, this isn't the first time a government has tried to do it. It's tricky, and also you have a situation where, yes, Boris Johnson has become much more interventionist as a politician, but he's still not full nanny state. So things like the sugar tax are not on the agenda, but what we are expecting is limits on advertising fast food, which some on the, I think, the Tory right do not like as a step. I think we're also going to hear about encouraging people to exercise. And I think there's also a few things to look at in terms of the role of GPs and the health service in terms of identifying things. So we're expecting this all to be rolled out from Monday. I think when you're looking at this campaign and how to target people, I think there is a question of just how do you approach people who are in a situation where their weight has escalated in a way which they are going to listen to you rather than feel so offended they stay away from it or feel awkward and embarrassed? Because I think that is not a conversation everyone is willing to have, even if it's their own weight or you about someone you know's weight.
I think Katie's totally hit the nail on the head. I mean, that one of Boris Johnson's policy team in Downing Street actually did some academic work on this very point at Oxford University, which is the most effective intervention is doctors telling people they need to lose weight, or particularly that their children need to lose weight. But doctors are very reluctant to say that for the precise reason that Katie says, that they fear that it's going to permanently damage their relationship with the patient, and it's a difficult conversation to have. I think, A, need to find a way of incentivizing doctors to tell people to lose weight. I also think Boris Johnson has kind of permission to be heard on this. I think being lectured by Matt Hancock on your weight, you know, a guy who loses stones to take part in horse races at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, he makes all his staff in the Department of Health walk up the stairs with him if they go in together. Does not let them go the lift if they're a group entrance.
How many floors?
I've never walked up the stairs there, so I don't. James, do you have any idea?
I think when you go up in the lift for his, it's definitely quite a long
way.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So,
I'm getting sort of thick of it vibes here.
Back to James, though.
No, but I think that gives Boris Johnson kind of permission to be heard on this. I mean, I think because of his own failings in this area, he can talk to people about what you need to do to do this. My personal view is that the right believes that taxes change behaviour and incentives change behaviour. I think you probably do need to be more prepared to use the tax system, because I think if you're going to tackle obesity on the levels that the UK has, you know, I think it's what, close to 1 in 3 are obese, right? I don't think just getting people to do a bit more exercise is going to be enough. You probably need to change their calorie consumption level. That is going to be one of the big challenges.
Are they looking at the right things, James? There's some of the ideas that we've heard today, for example, as Katie said, banning advertising on junk foods, also getting rid of buy one, get one free offers on unhealthy things. Is that the sort of thing that's going to work?
I don't think those things will do any harm. I think probably as a society, we probably need to you're going to get me on one of my hobby horses here. We probably all need to cook more because I think kind of ready meals and what, you know, inherently are bulked out with sugars as a kind of bulking agent, and that's not good. And also, if you think of food as something that you can eat instantly, that doesn't generally lead to the best diet in the world.
And Katie, you wrote in your column this week for The Spectator about the upcoming battles that Boris Johnson will have with his MPs. Is this sort of new interventionist approach going to be one of those issues that his party takes a problem with?
I think it depends on the form. I think this obesity drive, advertising for example, like there are a few people who will not like it. I don't think it's the hill that people are going to choose to die on. I think something like sugar taxes would be much more contentious, looking at things like that. But I think in terms of the various issues, you need time for them to, you know, build steam. And I think that when it comes to things like obesity and things that are linked with coronavirus, there is a argument to be made that this is a part of, you know, an emergency measure, which means that people might put some ideology aside in that time. Though that said, if you think back to Sunday trading, this was pitched as, you know, when the government were meeting this, the number 10 in the Treasury, the idea that Sunday trading could be relaxed and this would be one way to get the economy going. They then decided that even that pitch as a temporary measure was not going to be enough to get MPs to change their minds. So I think there are still difficulties with things, but I do think things linked to coronavirus are a bit of an easier sell than just standalone, you know, new legislation.
James and Katie, thanks very much. And do join us again tomorrow, where James and Katie will be speaking to former MP Stuart Jackson about Boris Johnson's first year as Prime Minister.
Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.